The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel is from John, chapter 19, verses 17 through 30, and can be found on page 1684 of your Pew Bible. John records, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Now, Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. And the chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Now near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, and they put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this coming Sunday will be Easter. And, excuse me, there is no grief or mourning in the lessons of Easter. This Sunday is about our redemption. The focus has nothing to do with us and everything to do with Jesus. But even when it is about Jesus, the truth is it really is about us as well. All that Jesus has done, he's done for us, for you and for me. We are accustomed to hearing about the cross and the soldiers and the beatings and such. And in our psalm reading tonight, Here we have depicted for us the confrontation of our Lord with his adversary, the devil. Jesus is not simply bearing the pains of the crucifixion, although one would hardly describe the agonies of the cross with the word simply. Jesus is also bearing the wrath of God, as depicted in the cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And we know that he is dealing with the constant assault of the devil. We do not hear about the devil directly in the scriptural accounts of the crucifixion, but we know that he's there. We can see Satan in and through the monstrous conduct of the men who surround Jesus. They delight in mocking an innocent man. They take pleasure in beating the helpless. There is no crime of which Jesus is guilty, and they don't care. He's going to be crucified, and that is all that they need to know. They are perfectly at ease torturing a man who is going to die shortly anyhow. The devil was surely delighting in being able to strike at God so directly, so very, very personally. Our commentators tell us that the lion is a reference to the devil. And I believe they're correct. I do. We know that Jesus had to wrestle not just with the awful physical realities of the crucifixion, but you can be sure that the devil was there, clearly seen by Jesus as he taunted Jesus, as he heaped on his own scorn and derision on Jesus. Suddenly he tried to entice Jesus to use his power and exercise divine authority to ease his pains or end the torments of the cross altogether. One can well imagine that since the devil came to Jesus after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and tried to entice him to use his power to feed himself, he was surely there on Calvary to tempt Jesus with the easy way out, the quick end to the torments, or to cast the whole project aside in the face of such enormous suffering. He may have even tempted Jesus to strike out at those who caused him such enormous torment. We hear the call for deliverance from Christ, and we understand why he cries out to the Father as the men, the human beings directed by Satan, inflicted such torment on Jesus throughout the Passion. The men were unreasoning, and they were too powerful to be resisted or overcome unless Jesus gave in to the temptations to exercise his divine power to set himself free, which thankfully he did not do. The call of our Lord is for God to sustain him and finally rescue him from the agonies of the cross. The battle that Jesus fought on the cross and in the Passion was only partially visible to the naked eye. We need to go to the Psalm of the Crucifixion to understand that Jesus bore more than just the pains of the nails through his hands and his feet, as awful as that must have been, and the physical and emotional rigors of the Passion. He endured being separated from God, which is the fundamental torment of hell, separation from God. He bore our sins, and because of them, he who is God was forsaken by God. It must have been a tearing of his psyche, an emotional burden, a spiritual agony that was laid on top of all the physical torment that the typical passion narratives describe for us. He bore the shame. He bore the guilt and the wrath of God. And he bore it all without the Father or the Spirit with him to give him strength and encouragement. And yet, he was still God, the Son. The mind reels at this. I cannot calculate it. I can't figure it out. Then, to all this, we add, in the tempting and the mocking by the devil. Surely there were threats that this agony was going to go on forever. They were thrown at Jesus while he was suffering his estrangement from God. He was offered every terror we might be able to imagine. We know from the accounts in the Gospels that Jesus felt them, beginning in Gethsemane, and yet he did not give in to them. He held on to his confidence in God, resolutely in the face of his suffering and in his abandonment. He kept his faith and kept his focus on why he was where he was and who and what he was suffering for you and for me. Now we can see that in his concern for others, like his mother and the malefactor on the cross next to him, who prayed that Jesus would remember him when he came into his kingdom. And we can see in his care that every word of Scripture prophesied about this great work was fulfilled. We are reminded from the psalm that Jesus never lost his faith, even though he suffered such torments according to the detailed plan of God, and even though he endured that abandonment which the first verse of Psalm 22 describes, he continued to call on God. He continued to pray for strength. He continued to look to God for deliverance. He continued as a man to fight the battle of faith and endured because he believed. Yes, you know, he was also God, and he had that strength that you and I do not possess by nature. But we have the same tool that Jesus depended upon. We have faith. And we can endure by grace through faith because we have the Word of God holding out that promise to us. Now, of course, it's not easy. But when you look at the passion of the Lord, it was not easy or comfortable for him either. He succeeded where mankind has failed because he is the Son of God. But he also promises to be with us always, to strengthen us, and to give us the ability to succeed when we rely upon him. We will not have to face our torments, our portion of the cross alone. For Christ is always with us. That's his promise. Tonight, we remember the rigors of Good Friday. Tonight, we remember the passion of our Lord from the point of view of the Son of God facing our old evil foe and crying for deliverance from the hands of mankind and the anguish of his abandonment by God. This is the passion from a point of view which only Christ could have. And he shares it with us through the words of the psalmist. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth, and deliver me from the horns of the wild oxen. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? In the name of Jesus, amen.